Small businesses. Direct Line guarantee to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Wednesday, October 5th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, I know there's a million sports podcasts out there, and I would like to thank each one of you personally for taking the time to hang out here with us for our own personal brand of tomfoolery. We do post a new episode every single Wednesday and do our best to bring you some insight on the world of sports. If you've got a friend, you've got a coworker, you've got maybe a relative that you would like to recommend the show to, fine. If maybe you have an enemy you'd like to recommend the show to, whatever it is that you have, let them know. You can download the podcast in a number of different places. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, any of those places. Go download, subscribe. You can go to Google Play. You can go over to Audio Boom. You know, over on Audio Boom, the Daily Dose now has their own channel on Audio Boom. If you do get your podcast from Audio Boom, head over there. You can find us over there. Or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And while you are over there, you can check out some of the articles that we put up every single week. You are sure to enjoy those. You know, one went up this week. We did put one up this week about the New England Patriots, about the Buffalo Bills, about the game that they had this weekend. Maybe a little something there that you didn't know, maybe you didn't realize that happened in that game. You might want to head over to Daily Dose Sports and check that out. I think you are going to enjoy it. And plus, we do put a link to the podcast there every single week. And also, be sure to stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com, a number of other podcasts over there. Anything from music to movies to, I mean, you name it, you can find stuff over there. Travel, they've got a number of things over at Rogue Intel that you are going to want to check out, a number of podcasts that you are going to get addicted to and you are going to listen to every single week. Hey, if you do have a question, got a comment, got some feedback for the show, maybe you have a suggestion for the show. Hey, we'd like to see a Daily Dose Top 5 on this. I get a number of suggestions from a number of different people, and we appreciate those. You want to hit us up? Send an email over to dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can hit us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports, all one word. Hey, today on the show, you know, the Major League Baseball playoffs are now set. We're going to be taking a look at the wild card games, going to be taking a look at the first round of those divisional playoff games. Some interesting things going on in baseball. Plus, we had a great weekend in both college football and the NFL. Who are the winners and losers this past week? Going to be taking a look at some of the winners and some of the losers in both college football and the NFL. It might not be quite who you think. And, you know, we might see, we'll try to see if we can get just a little bit of NBA talk. I know the NBA is coming very, very quickly. And as we always do, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You've always got to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which direction that is going to go. Always topical, always informative, well, sometimes informative, usually entertaining. Make sure you stick around for that Daily Dose Top 5. A few things coming out. World of Baseball. Major League Baseball, you know, the hometown Colorado Rockies, of course, won't be in the postseason again for like, what is that? I don't know, forever. But you might have missed this. Hometown Colorado Rockies second baseman, DJ LeMahieu, won the National League batting title. Yep. You didn't know that, did you? Well, maybe you did. Maybe you didn't care. I know I don't. You know, DJ LeMahieu actually batted .348 on the season, and he beat out Washington Nationals second baseman Daniel Murphy, who batted .347. But wait, you know when it's the Colorado Rockies, there's got to be a catch, right? There's got to be at least a little bit of a catch. Well, of course there is. See, the Rockies don't really have anything to hang their hat on, so they try to hang their hat on, you know, things like this. We won the batting title. We got to the wild card once, you know, things like that. Because they don't have anything else that they've won. So, you see, Murphy had been sitting out the past few games. He's got a leg injury. In fact, even though the Nationals are in the playoffs, we're not sure Murphy's even going to be playing. He's still dinged up. So, with Murphy sitting out, the Rockies didn't want LeMahieu to possibly go out there and not produce. So, even though he wasn't hurt, they went ahead and sat him out of four of his final five games so that his batting average wouldn't drop. Nice job, Rockies. Nice job. I expect nothing less from you. That's what we've come to expect here in Colorado. You know, it's so funny. We just have the full gamut here in Colorado. You've got the Denver Broncos, and you might love the Broncos. You might hate the Broncos, whatever it is. But you can't argue with the fact that they run a first-class organization. They run a franchise the way it should be run. Then you've got, you know, the Nuggets, you've got the Avalanche. They kind of halfway it, and we try to piece together a little bit, but we really don't produce, and we just try to bubblegum it and duct tape it together enough that you can sit there and say, well, I guess they have a franchise. I don't know, not much else. And then you've got the Rockies at the other end of the spectrum, and, I mean, they're doing nothing. They don't produce anything. They don't win anything. They don't even try to win anything. They could care less about winning anything. You want some more evidence? You might not believe me. You might be saying, oh, no, he's just mad at the Rockies. No, no, no. Rockies manager Walt Weiss just stepped down following the Rockies, you know, being awful again. And it's funny because here in Colorado, people were kind of excited. They were like, hey, the Rockies are almost 500. I mean, they're only like 21 games back. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess if that's your goal, almost 500, you were almost average. You weren't average, but you were almost average. Well, Walt Weiss has stepped down. Now, you might not realize this because Walt Weiss was a major league player. Walt Weiss was actually a high school manager locally here for a high school here in Denver when the Rockies gave him the job. So, I mean, what is it that they're going to be doing now? Like, who are they going to go to now? Because we know they're not going to go, you know, pay some big-time talent and bring in a big-time manager and be like, hey, we're going to run this thing right. We're going to go out and get the best manager we can get. We've seen the way teams do. I mean, look at what the Cubs did. They go get a big-time manager, boom, they're right there. You see this in other franchises. No, not the Rockies. I'm assuming that right now, Rockies management is like trolling the middle schools looking for their next prospect.
I get older, they stay the same age.
Nice job, Rockies. Well done. You guys are doing things top-notch, first-class, as always. Of course, some of the big news this week did not involve the Major League Baseball playoffs. Vin Scully signed off for the final time, and we have his final call courtesy of CBS LA right here.
I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Yes, Vin Scully hangs it up. He's going to be done. It's going to be a little bit different to be listening to Dodgers games now. It's not going to be quite the same, whether you're watching or whether you're listening, I guess. Vin Scully hangs it up. You know, we also are losing, and it didn't get quite the publicity, but we also are going to be losing Dick Enberg. And we talked about Dick Enberg just a couple of weeks ago, and the number of games, and he did so many sports. Losing Dick Enberg and Vin Scully, those are two big, big, big losses. Both guys did it the right way. Both guys painted a great picture for listeners and for, you know, whether you were watching or listening, and just did it the right way. Always brought something to the game without overdoing it and without just crushing the moment. Definitely world of baseball, and for me, the world of football, will miss Dick Enberg. I know he hadn't been doing football in a few years. Those two gentlemen will definitely be missed in the world of sports. Hey, like I said, the Major League Baseball playoffs are set. Going to take a quick look at those first matchups that are coming. Over in the American League, we've got the Boston Red Sox facing the Cleveland Indians, and the Cleveland Indians did win home field. Now, I told you last week, I don't think that's as big as maybe some people make it. I think Boston is probably just that team that is rolling and playing well at the right time. You know, Cleveland has a lot of offense. Cleveland is better than you might think. The Indians scored nearly 800 runs this year, but here's the problem for the Cleveland Indians. You don't have David Ortiz, and we know how clutch he is in the postseason. And don't you just get the feeling that with it being his last season, he's just going to, you know, dig a little bit deeper and find something in the postseason this year? Red Sox are playing absolutely dominating baseball right now, playing so well. Maybe the Indians get a little bit of help from their home stadium, but I really like Boston in that series. I just think they're playing so well at the right time. Of course, Texas will get the winner of the Baltimore-Toronto wildcard game. We will see. We'll talk about that in just 1 minute. Over on the National League side, got the Los Angeles Dodgers facing off against the Washington Nationals. Let's be honest. This should be the Dodgers easy. It should be the Dodgers in an easy series. Maybe five. Nationals don't have Strasburg. Murphy, like I mentioned before, is hurt. Bryce Harper is banged up. Here's the only catch. The Dodgers haven't been playing great as of late, and they can't hit lefties. I still think they have too much. I like the Dodgers over on the National League side. The Chicago Cubs will get the winner of the Giants and Mets wild card game. Now, as I'm recording this on Tuesday night, the Baltimore Orioles are getting ready to face the Toronto Blue Jays. That game started at 6 p.m., and it is very, very early right now. both teams, you know, Baltimore and Toronto limping into the playoffs just a little bit. I'm assuming that playing at home should be huge for the Blue Jays. They get a great home field advantage up there playing in Toronto. Toronto just has so much offense. That lineup just has so many bats that they're capable. I know they haven't been playing well lately, but they're capable of lighting it up on any given night. Just want to see if the Orioles can keep up. If it turns into that high-scoring game, I don't think the Orioles have the bats to keep up. I'm going to be taking Toronto. And then on Wednesday night, we've got the San Francisco Giants facing off against the Mets. Now, how good is this? And I know it's just a wild card game. We wish we could see a series of this. But Madison Bumgarner against Noah Syndergaard in that wild card game. These are two tough guys. These are two tough guys. I think the testosterone will be raging. We can just put these guys out on the mound and let them start hooking. Just do business that way. Might be just as entertaining. You know, the interesting thing about both of these pitchers, they can both make plays with their bats as well. It's not just their pitching. They're both pretty solid hitters. I know the Giants are due. We've talked about this in the past. It seems like the Giants, it is miss the playoffs, win the World Series. Miss the playoffs, win the World Series. That's just how it goes for San Francisco. They're like the cockroaches of baseball. We just can't kill them. This year, by that calendar, should be San Francisco Giants win the World Series. Everything about that game on Wednesday night tells me San Francisco is going to win that game and advance on to the division. But here's the thing about the Mets. They have zero pressure. They've been playing with injuries all year. No one expected them to be here as banged up as they were. Now, Syndergaard does struggle to hold runners on base. But the Giants don't really look to run that much. Maybe they will because of his struggles keeping guys on. But the Giants don't really look to run that much. And Madison Bumgarner, for as much as he's producing, he's not playing at that high level. I'm going to take the Mets. So we'll see. We'll see. Well, you know, baseball just finally getting interesting right about now. What a great time of year. We've talked about that before. College football rolling. NFL rolling. Major League Baseball finally gets interesting. NBA's getting ready to start. NHL's getting ready to start. Does it get any better than this? Hey, who were the winners and losers this week in the NFL and in college football? Plus, I'm going to try to get a little bit of NBA in. A couple stories coming on in the preseason that we may want to talk about. And you've got to make sure that you stick around for the Daily Dose Top 5. We will be right back.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
You like beer?
Beer.
You like rock and roll?
I'm allergic to penicillin.
Do you like drunk Australians?
Beer.
Do you like interviews with bands exploring facets of entertainers' lives best left to the imagination and possibly not presented on a radio show?
I don't know where this is going.
Jump on rogueintel.com/remedial.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of me
and very much reflect the hidden recalcitrant inside each and every one of you. There will be topics in bad taste and many you won't agree with. So keep a leash on your inner SJW and jump on in with an open mind as we explore the controversial. Find us on iTunes, Google Play or SpokenUnspoken.com.
I say, boy, every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon, and I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon can buy. Look at that, he's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
We are now a quarter of the way into the NFL season already. Do you realize we are already 4 weeks in? NFL season just comes and goes. We wait and wait and wait for that season to get around, and then it comes and it just goes so, so quickly. But right now, let's take a look at some of the winners and some of the losers around the NFL, and we'll take a look at college football too. But some of the winners and some of the losers, they might not be the teams or the players or the people that you might think that they are. Let's take a look at a few of the winners and losers. First off, let me give you a winner. I'm going to give you a winner in the NFL. You know, Rams coach Jeff Fisher has got to be a winner. The Rams beat the Cardinals and are 3-1 right now. And I'm going to be honest, if I'm Rams management, you need to rush out and give that man an extension right now. Like, don't wait. Don't wait. Because here's the problem with Jeff Fisher. We know that he always goes 8-8, 7-9, Maybe he'll get a 9-7 in there just to keep people honest, mix some things up. Based on that, we have a pretty good idea that some bad losses are probably coming. So, I mean, you look down the schedule, and you're like, yeah, they're probably going to lose to the Saints or maybe the Detroit Lions. Maybe they'll lose to San Francisco, probably at home, something like that. Or maybe they'll just lose to all of those teams. They definitely will have one of those bad losses because that's just who Jeff Fisher is. We consider and we can act like, hey, this is a different Rams team. I mean, their defense looks improved. Their offense looks horrible. I'll be honest. How did they break Todd Gurley? Like, Todd Gurley looked like he might be the best running back in the league last year, and somehow they've managed to just break him. Like, he can't do anything anymore. Telling you right now, bad losses are coming, Rams fan. Get ready for it. We've been watching Jeff Fisher for way too long. We know how he operates. Bad losses are coming. I'm going to give you a loser. Here is the loser. Got to be Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. The Panthers are 1-3. You know, they were trailing 34-18. They score the touchdown. And then Cam is running the two-point conversion. Of course, they do a lot of those organized quarterback runs. You know, he takes a snap, kind of that spread stuff, and he spreads, he runs over off of the left end, and he just kind of casually jogged into the end zone, just kind of, you know, taking it easy. Hey, I got an easy one here, just kind of sliding in. And then a Falcons defender just comes over and sticks his helmet right in Cam's ear hole. Cam, what are you thinking? You're going into the end zone. You don't think anyone else is going to be playing? He just ran in so casually, like he wasn't expecting it at all, and someone just jacked him up. Gotta just assume Cam was just not expecting it at all.
Why did anybody tell me?
So now, of course, Cam is in concussion protocol. They're going to be checking him out and giving him the test and shining the light in his eyes and see if he can, you know, read things off the chart and all those things. But here's the bigger problem for Cam Newton. With Derek Anderson, the backup quarterback, in, the Panthers actually went on a pretty good run. They actually started scoring some points. They actually got themselves back in the game, at least until their defense crumbled. Here is a couple of the problems with Carolina. They've got no running game. And so it's all being asked of Cam to do it either downfield, or he's got to be the runner himself. And when they take the running game away, it's a lot harder for Cam Newton to do anything downfield. And we have to take a look at the fact that Carolina is starting rookie corners. And those corners are getting absolutely torched every week. I know I don't expect Carolina to be done yet. I'm not writing them off just yet. Because here's the thing. They've been playing some tough teams. They've taken some losses, but they've done it against some very, very tough teams. That schedule is going to get a little bit easier. It's going to get a little bit nicer. And when it does, Carolina will probably inch their way back into the playoff hunt. Right now, though, things not looking good for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Give you a winner. Hey, it's got to be Buffalo Bills coach Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan finally found a way to beat Bill Belichick. The Bills shut out the Patriots at home for the first time since 1993. And here's the thing about this win, because yes, it was against like the, I don't know, the eighth string quarterback that the Patriots rolled out there. I don't know who was playing. Maybe they had a tight end playing. I don't know. But this is the kind of win that can keep him in Buffalo, keep him losing game after game in Buffalo, you know, for another season, which personally I love. I think Rex Ryan is a great fit up there. Just a big loudmouth, never really, you know, wins anything of significance, but I think that's a great fit. I like Rex up in Buffalo. I know Buffalo fans. I know we have a few Buffalo fans. Don't get mad at me. Rex went out there and won this game. And isn't it funny? At the beginning of the season, we were talking about, man, Rex is going to get fired before the year's up. Buffalo fans right now are like, Rex is the guy. Did you see what he did to Bill Belichick? He shut him out. Yes, he was, you know, playing like an option quarterback back there, but he shut him out. Good job, Rex Ryan. We're going to put you on our winner list, sort of. Winner for Rex Ryan, maybe loser for Buffalo Bills fans, because you're probably going to keep him for a while longer. I'll give you another loser, San Francisco. The San Francisco 49ers took a big loss this week, and this isn't opinion, this is fact. They lost Navarro Bowman, their outstanding middle linebacker. And the thing about the San Francisco 49ers, and I talked about it with Larry when we did our NFL preview, the Niners play hard. They're just not very good. But one of the players who actually is good is Navarro Bowman, and now he's gone. And as he goes, the defense kind of goes, because he can make so many plays all over the field. Now you lose a big portion of that. San Francisco isn't playing well, but they're at least competing. Now I start to worry, without a major cog in that defense, if they're going to continue competing. They've been playing hard, not particularly well. I mean, let's be honest. When you went into the season with Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick and said you were set at quarterback, we had to kind of question what it is you were doing back in San Francisco. But now even the defense is kind of getting worn down. And Bowman is a huge, huge loss. Here's a winner for you. We'll stay out there in the Bay Area. The Oakland Raiders are 3-1. And they have been back to the East Coast and won a few games. And here's the thing that's impressing me about Oakland. Because I still am kind of waiting. We'll see what they do when they get into those pressure games. But the thing that's impressing me is quarterback Derek Carr. He just doesn't turn it over. For a young quarterback, for a young guy, in this age that we see so many quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, get so pass happy and throw so many bad interceptions, he's got one interception on the season. He's just not turning it over. Yes, I have some huge concerns about their defense. I have some major concerns about that defensive backfield in particular. But Derek Carr, he's kind of putting the Oakland Raiders in a position where they're going to have a shot at making the playoffs. Really, really like what Derek Carr is doing. Taking care of the football, going down the field, attacking defenses, throwing it down the field. Very impressive stuff from Derek Carr and the Raiders right now. We'll see how that defense holds up. We'll see what they do. I'm going to give you a loser. A big loser has got to be London, England. Oh my goodness. Is that what they paid for? Like London is like, hey, you know what? We're over here watching soccer and maybe some, I don't know, cricket, drinking their tea and eating their crumpets or whatever it is that they're doing over there. And they're like, oh, the Americans, the Yanks are going to come over here and play some football for us. You know, so we got that early morning game. Did you wake up in time for that? I totally forgot about it, I'll be honest. I turned it on about second quarter. And the Jacksonville Jaguars won the game. I'm going to put one in, you know, quotation marks because that was horrible. That was horrible football. The Brits absolutely got ripped off on that game. That's a bad football game. The only reason the Jags won was because the Colts lost. Now, that might sound obvious, but both teams tried to give it back and forth to each other, and neither one of them were good enough to take it. Oh, those are two bad football teams. I know there's a lot of hype about both of those teams going into the season. Wow, that hype has to be gone. I am not impressed with either one of those squads. And Andrew Luck, you know how you remember at the beginning of Barack Obama's presidency, what he looked like, and then you look at him now, and you're like, man, dude, you're just aging. Like, did you step into a time machine? What happened to you? It's only been 8 years. You look like you've aged like 20 years in 8 years. That's what Andrew Luck looks like. Like, he's only been in the league like 3 or 4 years. And you're like, man, you look like you're old. Like, you're aging like a president right now. Rough, rough things going on with Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. Hey, Chuck Pagano's getting fired. I know they wanted to fire him last year and they kind of waited. It's just a matter of time before he's gone. Here's my question for the Indianapolis Colts. Or just football fans in general. Is Andrew Luck, has he gotten any better? Like when he first came into the league, we looked at him and we said, wow, I mean, he's got all the tools. He's got the right attitude. He's way more athletic than you think he is. He's got some really, really quick feet. I was watching that on Sunday, just how quick and elusive he is. I mean, that is not a big lumbering quarterback. For as big of a guy as he is, I dare say he might be even fleet-footed. I know that might sound insane. He's quick. But is he any better than he was when he first came in the league? I don't know if I'm seeing any growth in him. Still making the same mistakes. Still sometimes failing to come up with big plays. Still failing sometimes to convert big third downs when the game is on the line. Trying to see some growth in Andrew Luck, and I'm not exactly seeing it. Yeah, England, sorry. Honestly, that's not football. I don't know what that was that you saw, but that's not football. London, if I were you and Jacksonville kept coming over there, man, I would send them back. Send them back. Oh, my goodness. Start taxing them. Something. That is ugly, ugly football. Winner. I'm going to give a winner. Yep, I'm going to be Homer. You guys can get mad if you want, but the Denver Broncos are going to have to be a winner. You know, I believe, you know, they beat Tampa Bay 27-7. I think they won that by 20. And Trevor Siemian, starting quarterback, got knocked out with a shoulder injury. Now, here's the thing I'm going to throw out there. And I can't prove this, but I've got a hunch. I've got a hunch. I think Trevor Siemian could have come back in that game. When he left, the Denver Broncos were up 14-7. Trevor Siemian gets flung to the ground and he leaves. I do think he could have come back. In fact, he came back out on the sideline in pads and was listed as the backup quarterback at the time. So they did put him back out there. I think Gary Kubiak said, hey, we've got a shot right now. Let's not have him get any more big hits. Let's go ahead and take a look at rookie Paxton Lynch. And Paxton Lynch came in, and not only did he, it wasn't that he came in and just handed the ball off. He came in and threw the ball 24 times, and he threw it for 170 yards and a touchdown. They actually played pretty well with Paxton Lynch. I was impressed, and I've said here on the show, you can go back and check. I've said here on the show, I'm not a huge fan of Paxton Lynch. I don't think he's ready yet. I think eventually he will be, but I didn't think he was ready yet. He looked very good on Sunday. I know it was against Tampa, so I'm not going to read too much into it. But you've got to give Gary Kubiak and the Denver Broncos a little bit of credit, because going into this season, remember, everyone was saying, well, they can't win. They lost, you know, they lost Peyton Manning, he retired. They lost Brock Osweiler, he bolted. Mark Sanchez came in and didn't look very good. They had to go with a seventh round pick and then this rookie kid that has no, hey, they're 4-0. They're playing pretty good, and that defense looks as good as ever. Told you last week, I have a few concerns. Stop allowing third down conversions. But as the game wears on, it seems like that Denver Broncos defense gets a read on that offense, and they start shutting you down the longer the game goes. I'll give you a loser. The loser has got to be Carson Palmer. Yes, Arizona Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer. Wow. You know, he may be broke. I'll just throw that out there. Carson Palmer might be broken. I'm not sure. It looks like his psyche has been wrecked. So far this season, he's got six touchdowns, but he's already thrown five interceptions. And here's the thing with Arizona. They love to throw the ball down the field. Carson Palmer loves throwing it deep. And he doesn't always have, and we've seen this no matter where he was. We've seen this at Cincinnati. We've seen this, remember when he was Oakland? And he didn't have the patience just to take what the defense was giving him and just go down the field slowly. No, I'm just going to chuck one deep, and then he'd get intercepted. He'd get knocked down. They're going three and out. Now, we're seeing defenses say, hey, you want to throw the ball deep? We're going to drop two, three, maybe even a fourth safety back here. If you want to throw it deep, go ahead. We'll take our chances. And then, on Sunday, in the loss to the Rams, he got thrown on the ground and bounced his head off the ground. So now he's going through concussion protocol. Here's a scary thought, though. I'm just going to throw this out there. Just kind of a scary thought that just kind of crossed my mind. What if, I hate to say this, because like I said, I think Carson Palmer's psyche is a little bit banged up right now. What if that hit in the head fixed him? Do you see what I'm saying? What if throwing him down and hitting his head on the ground? Like, I think I saw that once on Gilligan's Island. Like, Gilligan was wandering around the island, and, like, a coconut hit him in the head, and he was, I don't know, something was wrong with him, like he had amnesia, and he did. And then, you know, they didn't know what to do with him, and then somehow another coconut dropped on his head, and then everything got better. Like, what if Carson Palmer just needed that hit in the head? Now he's better. You can fix him if you want to. Like, you can get him in that concussion protocol if you want to. But what if now he's better? What if he's all fixed? I would just throw out a little bit of caution to the Cardinals training staff. You might be trying to fix Gilligan for no reason, is what I'm saying. I mean, maybe the coconut just hit him on the head, and now he's all fixed. I'm going to give you another winner. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, sort of. You know, they played the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday night. Oh, my goodness. Kansas City. Stop trying to single cover Antonio Brown. You aren't that good. I know you think you are, but you clearly aren't. Man, Steelers, I'm going to give them just kind of a mulligan on that whole game against Philadelphia, because now they've got Le'Veon Bell back. The Pittsburgh Steelers look like they can score. I know, they have the bad week against Philly, and hey, maybe Philly's defense is that good. Maybe their defense is that good, but I got to give a winner to the Steelers. The Steelers went out and just lit up a Kansas City team that they've been solid. I don't know if they've been great, but they've been solid. Man, Kansas City. Didn't look too good, though. That offense looks like the 2014 version. Remember when Alex Smith couldn't, like, throw a touchdown? He couldn't throw a touchdown to save his life. You could have put money on him throwing a touchdown. No chance he was going to throw a touchdown. They're starting to look like that. Teams are just taking away his passing game. He's better off as just a runner right now. Kansas City struggled a little bit, but the Steelers definitely bounced back after a huge loss and looked good again. I'm going to give a loser. Here is another loser for you. Gotta be Jay Cutler. You know, when we were watching the Chicago Bears those first couple of weeks under Jay Cutler, the Bears weren't even competing. And then Brian Hoyer went in the game, and we were like, oh man, they got worse. Like, I know Cutler's bad, but Hoyer's worse. He looks like he's back down with the Houston Texans again. But now, we're starting to see a little bit of growth. Like, Brian Hoyer started to play a little bit better. And now, the Bears actually won a game. I didn't know if they were going to win a game all year. They got a win with Brian Hoyer? Really? Cutler couldn't do that. Cutler couldn't even get them to compete. Now, here's the question. Cutler's going to be back in another week, maybe 2 weeks. Who do you start? Do you go back to Jay Cutler? He looked horrible. Like I said, they weren't even competing with him. Or do you bench Jay Cutler for Brian Hoyer? Wow. When you think of how far Jay Cutler has fallen to the point that we're, I don't know, him and Hoyer, it's kind of a toss-up. Hoyer might be better. Man, that is a far, far fall from Jay Cutler when people just a few years ago, hey, he's going to be, you know, he's one of the young guns coming up. He's one of the guys that's going to make a name for himself. No, not so much. Not so much. I'm going to give you my last winner of the day. My last winner in the NFL got to be Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson, we didn't even know if he was going to play. Played against the Jets. We talked about it a little bit last week. He's playing against the Jets. He's got the bad ankle. He's got the bad knee. He's been thrown around. He's getting banged up. He goes out. He's a team guy. You know, puts the team above himself and goes out, rallies the troops, gets it done. Somehow, the Seattle Seahawks beat the Jets. I mean, and that's a Jets team that, okay, they're, offensively they're atrocious, but that's a defense that's pretty solid. And it looked like Russell Wilson had all the answers on Sunday. So there's my final winner. Russell Wilson goes out, plays hurt, just, you know, puts the team above himself. He does what he has to for the team. And I'm going to give you my final loser of the NFL. My final loser. I'm going to give that one to Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt, I mean, plays when he's hurt because he's a selfish glory hog. You know, he came back too early because he's just a camera-chasing jerk. Got hurt again. Now he's out for the season. He just wanted to get out there because he's just a big... Do you notice the difference here? Like, we love to pick and choose, don't we? We look at Russell Wilson. We're like, oh, man, what a great guy. Puts the team's needs ahead of him. J.J. Watt, what a jerk. Man, what a jerk. He went out there and played. He shouldn't have been back from that back injury yet. What a jerk. He was just being selfish, trying to get his name and his face out there everywhere. What a jerk J.J. Watt is. We might be just a tiny bit hypocritical. Might be a little bit of hypocrisy running through sports fans these days, isn't there? Because J.J. Watt is now suddenly an infidel because he tried to get back and play a little earlier. That's how flaky we are as sports fans. Let's be honest. We're a little bit flaky when it comes to those kind of things. All right, let's move over to the world of college football. Excellent week in the world of college football. Saw probably one of the best games that I've seen in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years. Really, really good games this week in college football. A lot of crazy finishes. Let's take a look at the winners and losers in college football now. Saw a few things that... Surprise me a little bit. I'll be honest. I was shocked by a few things. Winner. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm just going to say it. The University of Colorado won back-to-back Pac-12 games for the first time in their history. That's right. The Colorado Buffaloes are ranked in the top 25. I think they're 23, 21, something like that. Hey, we talked about a little bit last week. Colorado kind of sneaking in. They beat Oregon. They beat Oregon State. I know Oregon State's horrible, and yeah, Oregon isn't what they were, but hey, Colorado owns the state of Oregon. Make no mistake about that. Now, this next week, Colorado gets to face a USC team that, yeah, they kind of found their legs a little bit against Arizona State this past week, but could Colorado kind of sneak their way into contention in the Pac-12? I mean, you don't know. The one thing they can do, they can go out and they can score some points. I don't know if their defense can stop anybody well enough, but they can go out there and score some points. Colorado's got to be a winner. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to say it. I think Colorado is a little bit of a dark horse to go out and win the Pac-12.
That ain't true!
Coach Gundy just keeping me honest every single time I try to bring up Colorado. What does he have against Colorado? Don't even play Oklahoma State anymore. I don't even know what he's so mad about, but man, he's always mad. I bring up Colorado, he shoots it down every single time. Okay, I'm going to give you my first loser. My first loser in college football has got to be Stanford running back Christian McCaffrey. The Stanford Cardinal managed just 6 points on the road at Washington. Washington, on the other hand, hung half a hundred on Stanford. Here's the bad side. McCaffrey was held to just 49 rushing yards. He did have 5 catches for 30 yards. He had no touchdowns. Not a good week for Christian McCaffrey. He probably just fell right out of that Heisman list. Here's a stat I'm going to throw out to you. A stat that, I'll be honest, when I heard it, I didn't quite believe it. Here's a stat I'm going to throw out to you. In his collegiate career, Stanford running back Christian McCaffrey has 21 touchdowns. How many of those touchdowns have been on the road? On the road at an opposing team's stadium. Not counting neutral sites. Not counting neutral sites. Actually, a true road game. How many of those touchdowns have been scored on the road? Zero. Christian McCaffrey has never scored a touchdown at an opposing team's stadium. Like I said, he scored some at neutral sites. Never a true road game. Kind of boggles your mind, doesn't it? He's so good. He's so explosive. He's so dangerous on every single play, but apparently on the road, not quite as good. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's just teams keying up for him or what that is, but Christian McCaffrey, and once again, we saw it again on Friday night. Washington Huskies completely shut him down. I'll give you another winner. Hey, the Clemson Tigers. Clemson Tigers won the best college football game that I have seen in the past few years over Louisville. They outlasted Louisville Saturday night 42-36, and Clemson put up 507 yards, and their defense, which I've been doubting all year, and they weren't great. They gave up over 500 yards, but they did get a stop when they had to. Kind of an odd play if you didn't see it, you know, fourth and nine or whatever, and the Louisville wide receiver just kind of ran out of bounds instead of trying to get the first down. I don't know what that was. I have no idea what that was. But Clemson, a team that I've kind of been doubting all year, I just didn't think their defense would hold up. They're completely in control of the ACC Atlantic Division. And how impressive was Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson? It seemed like he was just, you couldn't catch him. Everyone on the field knew he was going to keep it. Everyone on the field knew the play was going to be made by Lamar Jackson. He couldn't stop him. He looks like Michael Vick, but somehow more electric. I don't even know how that's possible. Lamar Jackson, really, really impressive. But I got to give a major, major nod to the Clemson Tigers. Found a way to get a tough win against a team that, hey, let's be honest, if it comes down to a playoff right now, who are the best four teams that you would be putting in that playoff? Let's see. We've got Alabama. We've got Clemson. Maybe a Pac-12. I don't know. But wouldn't you right now put Louisville right back in that mix? They got beat on the road by less than a touchdown, had a chance at the end to win it. I don't know. I think Louisville still might be in that top four for me. Going to be interesting to see how that all shakes down. Really, really entertaining game. If you didn't see that game between Clemson and Louisville, I would encourage you, go watch that. That is a highly entertaining game. That was a great game. Loser. I'm going to throw out a loser, and you might have missed this one. You might have missed this one. We talked a little bit in our preseason college football preview, and we talked a little bit about some of those teams that were a little bit, not the big conference teams, and teams that had a chance, if they were to run the table, maybe they could kind of sneak into some contention and get talked about. San Diego State. San Diego State returned pretty much an entire defense and most of their offense. I think they returned something like 17 starters this year. Had a really soft schedule. Hey, go undefeated and see what happens. San Diego State lost on Saturday to South Alabama. I mean, you could have possibly snuck into playoff contention. You'd already beaten Cal, and then they lost 42-24 to a Sun Belt team? I guess that's why you're San Diego State, but that is a huge loss for San Diego State. The Aztecs could have somehow at least played into maybe an interesting spot. I'll give you another winner. A winner kind of surprised me a little bit. North Carolina hippie kicker Nick Wheeler. Yes, did you see what Nick Wheeler... Now, if you missed it, North Carolina led Florida State 21-0 early in that game in Tallahassee. But of course, as we knew they would, Florida State came back, and they actually took the lead late 35-34. UNC tried to get into field goal position, but they could only get as far as the Seminole 37-yard line. So they had to settle for a 54-yard field goal. Now, you sit there and say, okay, in the NFL, a 54-yard field goal is at least manageable. But let's be real clear. The longest that Wheeler had ever kicked was a 48-yarder, and it just barely got over. He had tried a plus 50-yard kick earlier in this game, and it barely made it to the end zone. So they roll him out for a field goal in Tallahassee with the game completely on the line, 4 seconds left on the clock. And here's what happened, courtesy of University of North Carolina Radio.
Potential game-winning field goal in Tallahassee. Snap back, spot down. The kick is cleanly away. It is good!
And it's Wheeler
with a 54-yard field goal. And how about them Tar Heels? They do it! Wheeler is showing the Florida State chop as he runs down the field. the second consecutive game that the Tar Heels win it in the most unbelievable fashion.
Yes, nothing like a kicker running around doing the tomahawk chop at all your home crowd. He lit them up. He made sure to let them know about that. North Carolina takes out Florida State. Not sure anyone saw that. Florida State really, really struggling. That defense that we thought was going to be so good and looked so good last year, even though they returned a number of starters, apparently didn't return the right ones. Florida State is floundering right now. I'll give you another loser. Got to be the Georgia Bulldogs. Remember a few years ago when we used to talk about Clemson and how they would always, it seemed like they always found a way to botch a late game and everybody kind of called it Clemsoning. Oh, they just Clemsoned it late in the game, somehow find a way to lose, somehow just against all odds, like you had to try to lose that game. We're going to change that. No more Clemsoning. That is off the table. From now on, we'll just say you Georgia'd it. In this game, Georgia facing Tennessee at home, Georgia led the whole game. Right at the end, Tennessee takes the lead, and Georgia somehow goes down the field and throws a deep ball. It's not a Hail Mary. I heard a couple people say back-to-back Hail Marys. It wasn't a Hail Mary. Just threw a deep ball, and the safety got beat. Georgia scores the go-ahead touchdown against number 11 Tennessee. Only 10 seconds left. Of course, Georgia can't handle success. If there's anything we know about the Georgia Bulldogs, they can't handle success. So instead of just saying, hey, we expected to be here. We expect to beat Tennessee at home. It's what we do. They all ran out on the field. They got penalized, 15 yards. Now they're kicking it from back at their own 20. Then, for some reason, I haven't quite figured out, they squib the kick. They don't kick it full. If you kick it full on, maybe it lands at the 10 and he gets it out to the 30 or so. He kicks it and squibs it. Tennessee returns it to the Georgia 40-yard line. Now, they only have one play left. They've got 3 or 4 seconds left. They only have one play left. So all Georgia has to do, back up and knock it down. You're still going to win. You're still going to escape. You're going to get away with the stupid squib. You're going to get away with giving up that huge lead that you had earlier in the game. But then they Georgia'd it.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Jawan Jennings. Jawan Jennings.
That call comes to us courtesy of CBS Radio. Georgia just finding new and inventive ways to lose football games. Seems like we see it every year now. Remember they did this against Georgia Tech a few years ago? Led a game, found a way to lose. Remember what they did against Auburn just a few years ago? Giving up that, call it a Hail Mary, but it wasn't really a Hail Mary. They Georgia'd it. It's just kind of what they do. I'm going to give you a winner, and a winner that you might not expect. I'm going to give you a winner, and that winner is Army. No, seriously, it's Army. I'm being honest with you. The other military academy that's never very good, you know, Army, they're actually 3-1. Now, I'll be honest, they haven't played anybody really that great, but the Black Knights haven't won more than 4 games since 2010. But here's just kind of a stat I want to throw out to you. The 3 military academies, Army, Navy, and Air Force, are a combined 10-2 right now. Now, you might look at that and say, well, who cares? They don't play anybody. I mean, big deal. But here's the thing. They don't have scholarships. These military academies don't get scholarships. They have size restrictions. There are guys that, like Air Force, would love to sign. Hey, here's a guy. He's a big-time player. He'd be a stud defensive. Oh, you're bigger than 6'7"? Well, yeah, we can't sign you. You're too big. You'd never fit in a plane. So we can't take you. They have size restrictions. Whereas, you know, the Alabamas and the Oklahomas and the Texases, they're going out and get these behemoth human beings. The military actually has size restrictions on the guys they can sign. And somehow, they are competing against the football factories. What are these other teams' excuses for not competing? Look at what these military academies are doing. I've been to a number of Air Force games. I've gone and seen Air Force play TCU. I've gone and seen them play Colorado State. I've gone and seen them play Wyoming. I've gone and seen them play Colorado. Wait, no, I haven't seen them play Colorado. Colorado's scared to death to play Air Force. That'll never happen. But I have gone and seen Air Force, because they're in Colorado Springs, play a number of these big-time, you know, football programs. It looks like a varsity playing against a junior varsity. You've got big, giant men against these little bitty guys. And somehow the military academies hold their own. They're smart. They're disciplined. They run a system that works for them. I got to give a winner to the military academies and to Army in particular. I'm sure it probably won't hold up. I'm sure. But hey, they're 3-1 right now. 3-1 right now. Pretty impressive. Pretty good stuff. And I'm going to give you my final loser in college football. Yes, here's my final loser. My final loser in college football this week goes to Brandon Chicken. Who? Yes, Brandon Chicken. You might not be familiar with who that is. Let me kind of explain that to you. It seems that last week, Alabama Crimson Tide linebacker Tim Williams was sitting in a friend's car in like a parking lot of like a, I don't know, Publix or whatever it was, and the police smelled marijuana coming from the car. So police went over and they searched the car, and of course they found a little more chronic, and they found a gun underneath the seat. Now Williams said he had a permit for this gun. It just, he didn't have it with him. I mean, I got it, but it's not with me right now. And then he said the weed belonged to a friend. I'm not making this up. You can go look this up. The weed belonged to a friend of his. Now, I'm going to kind of try to play this out and explain how this kind of went. So I'm assuming the Alabama, you know, redneck cops comes up to Tim Williams and they, I noticed you got a little weed in your car here. Oh, yeah. It's not mine, though. It's not mine. It's friend's. Oh, it's friend's, huh? The friends, what would that friend's name be? Brandon. What's Brandon's last name? Chicken. Brandon Chicken. Yes sir, that belongs to Brandon. Brandon Chicken, that's the best name you could come up with. You couldn't. I know Bama, I know you're out there competing for titles. I know you've won titles, even when titles weren't won. Not exactly getting the smartest kids, are we? Wow. Nice job, Alabama. Good stuff. Brandon Chicken, your loser of the week here on the Daily Dose. Okay, I told you, we try to get to a little bit of NBA. Philadelphia 76ers, brand new draft pick, Ben Simmons, is already damaged. Like, we knew he'd get damaged eventually playing in Philadelphia. We didn't think it would happen quite this fast. I thought it would take him a year or two before, you know, his confidence drained, and his body broke down. No. He's not even going to get to his rookie season just yet. More good news for Sixers fans. Apparently, Ben Simmons has a broken bone in his foot. Broken? Why do we say a broken bone in his foot? I'm just going to throw this out there. Let's say you had a broken bone in your arm. How would you term that? I've got a broken arm. But when it's a broken bone in your foot, you don't say it's a broken foot. I broke a bone in my foot. No, he has a broken foot. I don't know why we differentiate that. Like, if you broke a bone in your hand, you'd say I have a broken hand, broken arm, broken neck, broken back. When it's broken foot, you broke a bone in your foot, but you don't have a broken foot? I don't know exactly how that works. Either way, Ben Simmons has a broken foot. I'm just going to say that. Ben Simmons has a broken foot. Understand this. Feet are like kryptonite for big men. And I know we think of Ben Simmons kind of that point forward. He's almost a guard. He can play. He can play the point. But he's still a big, big guy. That's like a 6'10 man. Broken feet? Bad feet? Damaged feet? Oh, that would scare me. That would scare me. That is absolute kryptonite for a big man. That is poison. You don't want that. They say he's going to be out, you know, month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. We know how things go in Philadelphia. And I don't believe the Colangelos are going to let them tank again. I think they're actually going to try to compete and bring him back. But that is really, really bad news for the Philadelphia 76ers. Did you notice the preseason started in the NBA? Preseason did start. The Golden State Warriors opened up their 2016-2017 season with newly acquired All-Star Kevin Durant. Got going. Hey, we know what Golden State has. Don't forget, they just broke the record a year ago for wins in a regular season. I know they came up a little short in the finals, but they actually started off with a loss to Toronto. not the best start, not the greatest start. And here's the thing. They're going to have to figure out how to rebound, because that's going to have to be a collective group. They're going to have to figure out how to rebound a little bit. They struggled against Toronto. But what does this loss mean to the Golden State Warriors? Nothing. This loss, NBA preseason somehow means less than NFL preseason games. Like less than zero. As little as those games mean, NBA games, even less. Here's the thing that people don't always realize. And I heard a number of people talking about this. Golden State lost the preseason game. Golden State already lost. They were supposed to be, you know, Kevin Durant and had all these players. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala. They're loaded. How did they lose a preseason? Yeah, because in the preseason in the NBA, you can load your roster up with about 20 guys, and your starters don't even play. It means absolutely nothing. Now, here is one thing I do want you to kind of keep in the back of your mind as we progress in the season. The Golden State Warriors now have big man JaVale McGee on their roster. They've now got JaVale McGee. You might have missed that. They have him. And he's going to be expected to help with some of that rebounding load and with some of that big man presence that they haven't always had. So as we come down to it, just keep in mind, JaVale McGee is going to have a chance to win a ring. If the basketball gods don't just blow up the planet, if that happens, then I'm going to start having some doubts in the basketball gods. I've always believed in them. I've always believed in the basketball gods. They reward you for good things. They take away from you if you do bad things. But if the basketball gods let JaVale McGee win a championship, man, what in the world is going on? Okay, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. This week, you know, talk a little bit of NFL, a little bit of NFL news. We talked a little bit about the Buffalo Bills, talked a little bit about Rex Ryan, and of course, the New England Patriots. How could that possibly play into our Daily Dose Top 5? Our Daily Dose Top 5 today, the top 5 times that the NFL has suspended a quarterback. You know, it's not the first time. We didn't just see this recently. We have seen a number of times that quarterbacks have been suspended. Today on the Daily Dose, our Daily Dose top 5 times the NFL suspended a quarterback. Number 5 on our list, gotta be Art Schleister. Do you remember the Ohio State quarterback? He was drafted by the Baltimore Colts back in 1982, fourth overall in that draft. The problem was that the Colts didn't realize that dude had been gambling since like high school. Like he was going to horse races, he was going to dog races, anything you could bet on, he was going to bet on it. Now, you might remember Schleister in college and not realize it. You actually might. Remember that time that Ohio State threw an interception in the bowl game against Clemson? And Charlie Bauman, a kid, intercepted it, and then he ran into the sideline? And head coach for Ohio State, Woody Hayes, helped him up and then just started pummeling him and hitting him in the head, went completely lost his mind punching him? Well, Schleister was the guy that threw that interception. Schleister had been gambling all the way through college. In fact, he had blown his rookie contract by mid-season of his first year. He had over $700,000 in gambling debts. And when the NFL found out, they suspended him immediately because they worried that Art Schleister would be an easy target for fixing games. So they booted him out of the league for a year. And they said, no, 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 we can't have this guy in there. Because if any of these loan sharks find out, they're going to come at him knowing full well he owes them a ton of money. And he never quite got back because no one wanted to touch him. He was poison after that. He was hands off. You didn't want to go anywhere near Art Schleister because you would always run that risk of, you know, at least the accusation that maybe he was involved in gambling. Maybe he was fixing games. Maybe he was shaving points. No one's going near that. And since he got suspended, he's been in and out of jail multiple times, illegal gambling, various frauds. He is currently serving jail in Ohio for a $1 million ticket scam that he put together. Oh, and as part of his parole, he also tested positive for cocaine. Art Schleister got suspended. Schleister got suspended and never did come back. Number 4 on our list, quarterbacks that got suspended by the NFL. Jeff George. Remember Jeff George when he was down with the Atlanta Falcons? He got suspended because he got into a huge argument with his head coach, June Jones, on the sideline, and everyone saw it on TV. Apparently, Jeff George felt like his head coach, June Jones, didn't exactly have his back. Like, the media would go to June Jones, and June Jones would kind of, well, Jeff needs to play better. Well, Jeff isn't quite doing the job. And so on the sideline, Jeff George went over and lit into June Jones. They had a huge argument right there on TV, and they suspended him for 4 games for violation of NFL personal conduct policy. Yeah, Jeff George got suspended. Number 3 on our list. Remember, it was just 2007? Michael Vick. pled guilty to federal charges for running a dog fighting ring. And they found out that Michael Vick had fronted most of the money for an illegal gambling operation that was going on in conjunction with the dog fighting ring. Vick served 18 months in Leavenworth, Kansas. And I'll be honest, I give Michael Vick a ton of credit. It seemed like he came back from all of that a changed man. Played another 7 seasons in the NFL. But, you know, Michael Vick has done a ton of charity work. He's done a lot of work with at-risk youth. And, of course, Vick, being from Virginia Tech, he collected a ton of money for that Virginia Tech massacre to try to help some of those families out that were affected by it. I give Michael Vick a ton of credit. But back in 2007, he got suspended from the NFL and was out of the league for 2 years. Michael Vick, another guy that got suspended. Number 2 on our list. You might have forgotten this one. You might have forgot it. Back in 2010, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger got suspended for 6 games. It was eventually reduced to 4. Roger Goodell suspended him after he was involved in 2 different cases in which Ben Roethlisberger was accused of sexual assault. But here's the thing that kind of stood out to me. Following the announcement, Steelers owner Art Rooney stated he was disappointed that it was 6 games and he hoped it would be reduced. It was reduced to 4. But that he completely supported the decision. The NFL has to have room to rule. They've got to run this the way that they think that they need to. And Ben needs to sit down. Ben Roethlisberger sat down for 4 games. Nobody fought it. Nobody argued it. Finally, number 1, the top time the NFL suspended a quarterback. What else could it be? The New England Patriots' Tom Brady got suspended for his role in Deflategate. And no, I don't want to rehash all of Deflategate. But it's not the first time that a quarterback has been suspended. And Tom Brady is going to return this week. He's going to come back. He's going to face a very undermanned Cleveland Browns team, and he's probably going to blow up. But the one thing you have to keep in mind, it wasn't the first time this has happened. Big name quarterbacks do get suspended. And Tom Brady, whether you like it or not, was doing something. Maybe it wasn't anything worth being suspended over. Maybe it wasn't that big of a thing, but he was doing something. He was doing something. You know what all 5 of these guys have in common, though? You're not going to forget it. You're not going to forget what they did. Like, it might take a little bit of reminding, but you're going to remember it. And as unfortunate as that is for a player as great as Tom Brady, because I truly believe he is a great NFL quarterback, he's always going to have that stigma next to his name that he was suspended for doing something he probably shouldn't have been doing. And maybe it's forgotten. Maybe we look back at it and we say it's like Ben Roethlisberger. We look at Ben. We don't talk about that suspension now. Maybe we'll do the same thing with Tom Brady. Of course, Ben's didn't have anything to do with, you know, bending the rules on the field. Hey, next week on the show, we will be recapping the Major League Baseball postseason. Like I said, finally getting interesting in world of baseball, and we'll start looking forward to that next round. Might have to hand out a few regular season awards. Plus, big games coming up in the NFL and college football, and, you know, like you saw today, you never know what you're going to get with the Daily Dose Top 5. You've always got to make sure that you stick around for that. Wherever it is that you download the podcast, if you could just do us a quick favor, go over there and just give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. It doesn't have to be anything big. Just enjoy the podcast. That's it. Perfect. Great. Took you 5 seconds, and it helps us get seen by a few more people that might want to tune in like you do. If you would like to drop us a line, got a suggestion, feel free to email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or follow us over on Twitter or Facebook. And be sure to stop by rogueintel.com and check out the podcast that Duff is getting up over there. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
Power's got me looking for family superpowers. This is 12-year-old Danubav from Reading. Ready?
Yes.
9 times 3.
27.
51 times 6.
306.
78 times 159.
12,402.
Wow, that's clever. Here's another clever superpower. The Nest Learning Thermostat means you can control your heating and hot water from your smartphone wherever you are. Clever, eh? Search family superpowers to find out more. You have the N-Power. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.